Cool. Well, we're down to our last speaker of the night, and this lady is a part of Smash Coven, the witches who do, like, the fundraising and stuff. She is an author. She is a comedian. She has co-authored a book called Taylor Swift Girl Detective, which has had a question about it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which means she is famous. I was once with you, Larissa. It's Larissa Zagaris. I was once with you, Larissa, at C2E2 like 2 years ago, and a woman popped out of nowhere and goes, "Are you Larissa from Midwest Teen Sex Show?" Larissa's legitimately famous. So everyone, you're very honored to be in the room with her today. Give it up for Larissa Zagaris.
Thank you. I've had the advantage of watching this whole rare evening, and Cloaked in Shadow is my choice. I've watched you all here. This room is like our own little piece of Twin Peaks with the four, so we're missing it, but we're not. Vanessa's amazing. All the speakers tonight were fantastic. Your center, it does amazing work, and thank you all for being here. I didn't do anything to put it together, but I'm really excited about all of the talent and all of the warmth, and I feel like this is a really good alley-oop out of a really shitty time that I've gone through. So, without further ado, here are some things I want you to know about me. I kick things all the time. One, I do not like it when people say to keep positive when bad things happen or are happening. I think this phrase is about as helpful as someone looking at a fatal wound and loudly telling the wounded, "You should really go to the doctor." Number two, I have and have had, as I think probably anyone in this room has or have had, a lot of elements present in my rich, full, wonderful life that would cause many people to not know what else to say but keep positive. That's fine. It's a default phrase of comfort, and we're encouraged to share default phrases of comfort with one another when we A, care and don't know what the hell else to say, or B, don't care and don't know what else to say. Three, C, what I really don't like is when people start believing the default phrase of comfort and feel like they're doing something bitterly wrong by not following the edict of the phrase, keep positive! You can keep your head on straight without keeping blisteringly, impossibly, brightly positive. The only people I tolerate the latter kind of positivity from are very young pop stars or survivors of body-wrenching diseases who have found new freedom and wearing silk caftans and rubies to brunch at midnight. Number four, I grew up on the final forest-preserved fringe of the Chicago Southland before it turns into farmland or car and coach bag selling metropoli. About 20 miles southwest just of here, where we are now, where the main roads are lined with trees and the dead. The only thing more prevalent than tiny split levels and cemeteries in my hometown are woods. Theme. So, this is my inherent visual default metaphor for anything. Little Red Riding Hood is my fairy tale. Woods tempt and terrify me as they likely do us all. Number five. When I was a youngin', I read a book about making it out of the woods that stuck close with me. If you haven't read it, I'm going to ruin it for you, but in the best way, because if you haven't read it by now, you never will. Sorry. So you're getting the lesson anyway. Number six. I really want to call the book Girl Hatchet. This is not to confuse it with Boy Hatchet. Boy Hatchet is really called Just Hatchet by Gary Paulson, and you usually read it in like 7th or 8th grade. Girl Hatchet is really called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, and it's by Stephen King. Girl Hatchet and Boy Hatchet are both stories about survival in the face of the immense, physical and emotional danger. In Boy Hatchet, a 13-year-old boy has to figure out how to survive with naught but a hatchet his mom gave him and his wits after the pilot of the little Cessna plane he's on dies of a heart attack. While flying the plane, which is very harrowing. The boy is lost in the woods of New York or Canada, I cannot remember which one, where he crash lands the plane into a lake and figures out how to use his trusty hatchet to kill a bunch of woodland creatures and make fire, all while dealing with the divorce and his knowledge of his mom's secret affair that preceded the divorce. Tough break, thinking about your mom being an adult who has different drives, darknesses and depths than maybe she ever expected, while you have to kill slugs to live. But spoilers, the kid makes it alive long enough for at least two more survival books to be written about him. It's called Brian's Saga. It's a thing. In Girl Hatchet, what I will biasly also refer to as the hatchet of my heart, a nine-year-old girl, is traveling with her mom and brother after her parents' recent divorce in the woods of Maine. The girl's brother is hotly angry about the divorce and can't stop arguing with their mother about it. Our girl hangs back to avoid jumping into the fray, takes a quick pee off the beaten path before promptly sliding down a ravine to her possible doom. Who can't relate? She's lost in the woods for 9 days with her Walkman and some trashy snacks. Her hatchet, so to speak, is her clear head and her imagination. When the going gets really tough for our girl, she imagines she's being watched over by none other than her crush and sports idol, Tom Gordon, a real baseball player who played for the Red Sox at the time the book came out. Okay. I only knew that this player was a ball player from this book. I'm not hating on it. He also played for the Cubs and the White Sox, so he's been all over the place. By hallucinating the dream watcher Flash Gordon, which was his nickname, and being smart about divvying up her last rations of Twinkies and Surge, and calling on her memory of a little house on the prairie book to follow a water source to civilization, our girl might just survive. Until, of course, she either hallucinates or realizes she's being hunted by either a bear or something called the God of the Lost, a creature built of bugs and death and craven hunger for humans racked with fear. It's a Stephen King book. The logic of the God of the Lost follows that the more scared someone is, the tastier they are. Damn. Our girl does, spoilers, make it through, but only by fully accepting what she cannot logically accept, that the world is not only just dark and full of shadows, but also full of her mom and brother, real and imaginary Tom Gordon, a rescue team that may or may not give up the search for her at the exact moment she expires, and real and phantasmagoric killer bears. She acknowledges the truth of this, the great duality of all things, and ultimately smacks the darker of those things out to eat her up, dead between the eyes, with a Walkman she pitches like a baseball. She closes her game strong, not by keeping positive, but by keeping her wits about her, and her eyes clear, even though she's scared shitless, and at this point, fresh out of Twinkies and Surge. Once she's dealt with the God of the Lost, slash standard issue actual bear, she's also sort of rescued by a passing hunter who doesn't quite believe his eyes. In a Wikipedia article I hastily read while writing this, since I read this book in eighth grade and remember everything about it except the order of the ending, that even though the hunter helped her, she knew she earned her rescue. Double damn. I wish our default phrase of comfort could be, you will all earn your rescue, instead of keep positive. I wish our default response to people in trouble, to people breaking down due to their own design, or that of good old disease, or life, or fate, would not just be solely, sorry, yikes, or focus on the good things. In addition to those phrases, or instead of that, just have faith, have trust, etc., I wish we could add to the comfort phrase stable the following, and really believe what we say. I hope you're clocking your surroundings. I hope you're charting your responses. I hope you're taking stock of your supplies, and that if you're pinned under a tree, you're using your mind and my mind and everyone around you's mind to figure out how to MacGyver the last of them into a crude pulley system to free yourself, or at least the part of yourself that needs freeing most immediately. I hope you're numbering your strengths. I hope your Walkman is charged. I hope you're swinging your hatchet, or your Twinkie, or your Game Boy. Whatever it is that keeps you sharp, I hope it's sharpening you. I hope you're picturing your Tom Gordon by your side. I hope you know the only way out is through, if you make it out at all. I hope you make it out. I hope you close the game strong. And number 7, I hope you earn your rescue. Thank you.